Well, in some ways, was it the best possible scenario for the Patriots to play pretty well against a defending Super Bowl champion, but still be in the running for a great pick?
Yeah, I got to say, you know, I write my column immediately as the game ends, and I start writing before the game's over, so I wasn't thinking that much about Belichick not going for it on the fourth downs late in the game, and I kind of wrote about, you know, they played okay and they lost, and you know, kind of the ideal right now is to play well and have some hope for some young players and lose, because the most important thing to this team is draft position. So I was kind of surprised when I logged on, picked up the paper this morning, saw everybody kind of killing Belichick for not going for it on a couple of fourth downs when, as he said, three offensive linemen were out and Zappe was really struggling against what he was looking at with the Chiefs defense. And the best thing for them really is not to win that game. It's just to not really embarrass yourself. So I was kind of taken aback by kind of this almost overwhelming frustration with the way Belichick handled the end of that game, because losing a game is what they needed to do.
Absolutely. And we are seeing some things that are good signs for the future. You have to look pretty hard, but one of them, as you wrote about, has clearly been the play of Christian Barmore.
Yeah, I mean, he has played at an all-pro level the last few weeks. It's hard to say that anybody on the Patriots associate that the Patriots with all-pro right now based on the way their season's going, but he really has played that way. He's developed into everything I think people hoped he would be when they took him in the second round a couple of years back. He dealt with injuries last year, felt like a little bit of a step back from his rookie season, but say for the last 6 weeks, he's been phenomenal. And his motor is relentless. He's gotten better against the run, and he's fantastic as a pass rusher and totally disruptive. And I don't know how many guys, Rich, you look at on this roster right now and say they're going to be relevant Patriots players when the team is a playoff team again and a team that has a chance to win playoff games. I don't think there's a lot of them, but Barmore's name is right there at the front of that list. So you can get a defensive tackle with the ability and the effort that he's displayed lately. That's a pretty good building block for your defense.
So whatever happens to Bill Belichick, I don't know how certain it is. I guess it depends on who you listen to out there. But if he is done in New England, do you think he has a lot of options out there? I mean, this is a guy who'll be, 72 years old next season, clearly set in his ways. Can he coach? Yeah, but is he willing to go along with somebody else's system? I wonder how many teams will knock themselves out for a guy who may be, at best, a very short-term solution.
Yeah, well, first thing, Tom Curran's report that the Patriots ownership, the Krafts, kind of made up their mind after embarrassing Colts loss in Germany. I give that a lot of credence. I don't know that to be true myself, but Tom and Mike Reese are two guys who have been on the seat the longest and two of the guys I really trust the most in terms of being plugged into the Patriots. So, you know, when he says that, my thought is, okay, somebody prominent who has a say with the Patriots told him that. Whether or not it plays out, we'll see. I think there's still a chance that Belichick is back. Belichick is more practical than I think a lot of people acknowledge. He self-scouts. He does things like that. And I think there's a chance he just may realize that, you know what, the personnel stuff is a little bit too much now. If you listen to his comments, he kind of deflects and defers and goes out of his way. Maybe it's because our drafts have been so bad, but he kind of goes out of his way to say it's been more of a committee decision on picking the players lately and signing free agents and things like that. It would not totally shock me if he just coached from here on out. He's still really good at it. He doesn't have the personnel because of his own failings as a general de facto general manager, but I think he's still a terrific football coach. And I think that if he does decide to leave, there are going to be teams that really want him. I thought all along if he leaves the Patriots, he ends up in Dallas. And I know things are going really good for the Cowboys until they got embarrassed by the Bills last night. If it goes off the rails a little bit for Dallas or another early playoff exit, it wouldn't shock me to see Bill there. I think the Chargers thing's absurd. They've never paid a coach. And there's a better chance of him staying with the Patriots than going to the Chargers.
Yeah, and I don't think he wants it
right now.
I don't think he wants any part of a rebuild.
No, I mean, everybody says Justin Herbert, but they don't pay attention to the fact that Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen's contract's up there, and real cap difficulties next season. The Chargers are the ownership's cheap. I mean, they've never paid, I don't think they've paid a coach over $4 million a year. So seems like a really unlikely landing spot. But Jerry Jones and his desperation, that could be a marriage support for a couple of years.
Interesting. Chad Finn of the Boston Globe with us here on Downtown. Celtics, all of a sudden, playing some pretty good basketball. They had a couple hiccups there. But you know what? They haven't done, largely, they haven't had two bad games in a row. And now on a nice stretch of five straight, and Jaylen Brown earning some of that big contract.
Yeah, I've been as critical, I think, in Boston of Jaylen as anybody for the I'm going to get mine now kind of way that he played. I think he's really trying to change that. I think he's not the greatest passer in the world, not a great ball handler, just a tremendous scorer, and even by NBA standards, he's a ridiculous athlete. I think he's trying to play the right way and involve his teammates a little bit more. You can see it with the connection he has with Porzingis. He's driving and kicking out to Sam Hauser and Derek White and Drew Holiday now, and the ball is moving better because he's doing that. And it's not the I'm going to get in my bag ISO ball all that often. And, you know, when he has done that, like the fourth quarter yesterday, he was on an absolute fire, so go ahead and do it. But if Jaylen Brown is going to really make the effort to be a complete player this year rather than a scorer, this team can do anything. They can achieve anything because they're deep and well-rounded as anybody in the league. And if they play together and trust each other, as Danny Ainge said the other day on NBC Sports Boston, they could finally put that 18th banner up there. They're that good.
And what are we seeing from Joe Mazzulla? Are we witnessing, or at least are we coming to understand what his coaching philosophy is?
His coaching philosophy is take a lot of threes and then give my colleague Gary Washburn a hard time about it in the press conference afterwards. But, I mean, it's he's a math guy. He's an efficiency guy. He really just wants them to take the best shot that they have. It's, the math aspect of it is, you know, if you're going to shoot 35% from three, that's better than shooting 50% from two. And so he's okay with them taking those shots if they're good shots. If they're forced, they're the guy dribbling over half court and launching it, which last year during a playoff game, I counted them doing that 22 times as a team. I think he just wants them to move the ball to get the best shot, and that best shot's often the three-pointer. But the way they're playing right now, I think he has to be completely thrilled with the way this offense looks.
Boy, sad news. I just saw this afternoon about a former Celtic, Eric Montrose, who passed away after a battle with cancer.
Yeah, he was a really nice guy. Everybody liked him a lot. See the comments on social media about it. Danya Abrams, who played at BC, and I think ran into North Carolina in the tournament back in the early 90s a couple of times. You know, talked about what a wonderful guy he was on and off the court. And he was not, you know, he was a Celtics first-round pick, was not a terrible player. He was a skilled player who just, he was a slow center, which are prominent guy, a lot of those guys in the league at that time. Games changed. And then they traded him to Dallas with a first-round pick and ended up getting back the pick for Antoine Walker and another pick that became Ron Mercer. So, you know, he had a lot of impact on Celtics history, even if it was indirect. And just sad to see somebody pass away at 52 years old like that.
Absolutely. Red Sox continue to try and find their guys here in this offseason. And it's early, but in some ways it feels like if the Yamamoto thing doesn't work out, all we're going to remember is full throttle.
Yeah, full throttle. It's going to be one of those catchphrases. No, Sean McAdam, I know you have on wrote about this. He cited a couple of prominent quotes in Red Sox history and said this one has a chance to be up there with all of them. And it could if they end up with, I don't even know who the starting pitcher would be because I don't really want them to sign Blake Snell, who's won two Cy Young Awards and has been completely untrustworthy in the seasons in between those. I love Jordan Montgomery. I wish they would just sign him right now, but he's not a number one starter. I don't know what the consolation prizes are here. It feels like Yamamoto or bust, and Jeff Passan had that great report today, insightful report. He seems to be right about everything all the time. Instead of report that he hasn't even taken office yet, so the $300 million offer has not happened. If it's going to, that process is just starting now. But everything you hear, it sounds like Yamamoto's kind of leaning toward one of the New York teams, and maybe Boston has a chance, but it's not the number one chance. So I don't know. I wish they had gotten in on Juan Soto. And I wish they would go after Jordan Montgomery now, because it feels like they're going to be a runner-up for Yamamoto, no matter how much they offer.
And I'll be okay as long as they get somebody, and as long as Craig Breslow doesn't say, well, we still have Chris Sale, and he's a legitimate number one. That's when I'm done.
They're already talking about improvement from the guys that they have, which is what they did last year.
Yeah.
And it leads into that same circle where they don't define these guys' roles. Is Garrett Whitlock going to be a starter? Is Tanner Houck going to be a reliever? It stagnated these guys' career, that and injuries, because they just haven't defined what they expect them to be. It's jerking them from one spot to another from year to year, and they need that. They need some stability. That's the reason I like Montgomery. He is a horse. Beyond the fact he was great in big games for the Rangers this year, for the most part, he's a guy who's going to give you 180 innings and quality innings as a number two or number three, and they need that, let alone the guy at the front of the rotation.
I'm with you on that, and I'm with you on Snell, too. I was reading over the weekend that I think he's only averaged like 5 1/3 innings per start over the last few years.
Yeah, he's a left-handed dice K. That's what he is.
Ugh.
You remember the 07 season with the Red Sox when Dice K averaged a little over 5 innings per start, and
Because his pitch count would be at 100 by the third inning.
And he was 18-3. Francona should have got like 3 Manager of the Year awards that one season just for handling him.
Absolutely. Chad, great talking with you as always. Appreciate you checking in this afternoon. Keep your head above water down there. And I guess I won't talk with you before Christmas. Hope you have a wonderful Christmas and New Year, and we'll catch you in 2024.
Awesome. Same to you. Have a couple of great holidays.
Thank you very much. See you, Chad.
All right, take care.